critical part of a building process is the foundation. If you get the foundation right, then things are going to go better from there. And if not, you're going to have lots of complications. It's going to support the entire structure. So a great deal of care and a great deal of effort, a great deal of money goes into getting the foundation right. Today, we make foundations. People are able to create through rock and cement and metal the kind of foundation that is required. In Bible times, they didn't do that. They had to go and find stone that they could hand carve into exactly what they needed for that particular situation. These are stones from the foundation of the temple, Herod's temple, 43 feet long. Can you imagine how heavy those were, how difficult it was to get them in place? So much so that they're still there. The Romans had reason to tear down the temple because of the gold that was there, but the foundation was not something they were particularly interested in dealing with. So as we think in terms of building a foundation, I'm thinking from the standpoint of victorious living. How do we build the foundation that's going to support the victorious living that we'd really like to have and utilize and apply in our lives? Last week we began looking in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here Moses is leaving. He's fixing to actually leave this physical life. The Israelites are going over into the land of Canaan to conquer that area and have a new home. And he's trying to tell them how they should live if they wanted to maximize their experience and their relationship with God. And he told them, he used the voice of wisdom to point them in the direction of listening to God. But in verses 4 and 5, he's going to really lay out for them, very briefly, the foundational issue that I'd like for us to focus on today. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. God and your relationship to God is the foundation for this complete relationship. Whether it's the life we're living here, whether it's the life we want to live somewhere else, the part that we have to so desperately make sure that we get right is this relationship with God. Now, you've heard these words before. Matthew chapter 22. The Sadducees are going to take their turn with Jesus in trying to steer him in a bad direction, try to trap him in something that he says. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, rather the Sadducees first, now the Pharisees. The Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I think it's extremely fascinating to me that when we look at foundational relationship, as we look at a victorious relationship, we can go all the way back to Moses trying to tell the Israelites how to live successfully in the new land. And where does that start? Love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, strength, mind. And then somebody comes to Jesus trying to trap him and says, what's the most important commandment? And many people could have answered this, and this is answered a number of times in the Gospels, but Jesus there reiterates this same exact thing that Moses told this group of God's followers so many, many years earlier. And if we're really looking for the place, if we're really looking for that connection to have victorious living, then that's the place where we're going to go, and that's the place we're going to look. That's the place we're going to have to make sure is a serious part of our life. As I mentioned last week, this was always God's plan for his people. He says in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, but I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command you, that it may go well with you. My plan from the very beginning was to be their God and they would be my people. A relationship. And nothing has changed in our time. God continues to look and want to have this very precious relationship with him. He's always wanted a relationship with man. So we start with the relationship. We've got to get the relationship right. Psalms chapter 127, verse 1, the first part of that verse says simply, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. When Jack and Joyce built their home across the street from us, as I mentioned before, they lived in Michigan and we were here, and so we were overseeing the construction. It took forever to get to that place where they finally laid the foundation, and it was done. We went over there and we were walking around, and I said, I don't think this is right. And Terry said, these people are professionals, you know, and they know what they're doing. The next day, there's a knock on the door, and it's the builder. He says, we poured the foundation wrong. Little bit of a complication there. The house had to be redesigned in terms of meeting this mistake that had been made. It's critical. It's just so, so, so important. That's why you spend all that time. That's why you spend all that money. You got to build a strong foundation. You can't take shortcuts. You can't do the things that are you know, might be easier done. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we go on. So when we think in terms of ourselves and building this good foundation with God, we go back really to the basics. And sometimes we'd like to hear things that are, you know, a little more new or a little more inspiring, when the reality is the foundation is found in our obedience, prayer, Bible study, and meditation. Those are the things that build that foundation, that foundational experience. And when we say, I want to live victoriously, I want to have abundant life, I want God to bless me with the best possible life that I can have, where do I find that? Show me something new and different and exciting. And the answer is, well, you got to start with going back to the basics. That's how you build a foundation, is back to the basics. And those basics are just so critical. How do you build relationships? And I've shared with you before the story of the little girl who comes in and she wants to write the word love on a piece, on a drawing that she's made. And she says to her daddy, how do you spell love? And daddy says, T-I. That's really real. That's true. We can talk about quality time, but the real way that you build a relationship is with time. You build a relationship in time with your God and what he wants you to do and how he wants you to be and how he wants you to be led. Those are the ways that we do that. Now, there's one thing I feel necessary to point out here. Foundation is a great analogy, and it's throughout Scripture, and we use it, and we benefit from that. But there is an area of foundation that can be kind of deceptive to us, and that's, in our world, foundation is totally prepared in advance. Foundation isn't dynamic. It isn't changeable. It isn't organic. It's not altered through experience. And we get that idea in our head, and it's good to have that idea because it is really critical. But we also have to come back to the biblical spiritual side of this, and our spiritual side is dynamic and it is changeable. And our foundation can grow and it can be altered and it can be changed. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it talks about a concept that's entirely foreign to us, was to them and it is to us. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, referring to Jesus as this cornerstone that was overlooked. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Living stones. Well, that doesn't make sense. Stones aren't alive. They don't change. They don't reproduce. They don't breathe. They don't feed. They don't do any of those things. And yet God, as he looks at us, refers to us literally as living stones. We can and do change. And while this analogy is a powerful analogy, sometimes it leads us to the brink of feeling like, well, my foundation was so poor, or my foundation was so unplanned, or my foundation doesn't meet the needs that I'm having now, that there's really no hope for me. And the reality of our spiritual salvation, our spiritual foundation rather, is that it is dynamic and it is changeable and alterable. And I hope that we keep that in mind and we keep that, the comfort of that, in our forefront. So love is the connection point. But how do we love? Well, two quick suggestions, and you could come up with these easily yourself. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Moses, in the passage we talked about last week, as he talks to the people about how they're to behave, he uses words like hear and obey. You're going to need to be obedient. God's going to tell you what to do. He's already done that. When you get over to the promised land, you don't have to worry about what the next step is. God's going to provide the next step for you. He's going to provide this wise information. All you have to do is follow the information. And it's real easy for people to step back and go, okay, it just becomes that doing what I'm told to do kind of circumstance. But the thing we pointed out last week, and I want us to go back to it again, is why were they supposed to follow the decrees? So that they may enjoy a long life. It was in their best interest to follow those decrees. And nothing has changed there. And when we look around for a more victorious, dynamic way of life, the decrees and the plans and the patterns that God has given us are the ways that we're going to actually be the happiest. The commands are for our benefit. Now, often when I talk about this topic of the love of God or our love for God, I have people come to me and say, well, is this behavioral or is it emotional? You know, are we supposed to have an affection for God, or are we supposed to behave as in a loving fashion toward God? Well, if you're going to look at a scholarly absolute approach, you're going to see that love in the Bible is behavioral. It's not about what you feel, it's about what you do. We are to behave in a loving fashion. We are to behave to God as we love him. Now, does that mean there can't be affection? Well, absolutely not. It may be somebody even this life that you responded to because of behavioral motivations that you came later to love with great affection. And so while the initial approach is typically and biblically behavioral, we come to a place where we do have an affection relationship with God. We feel the affection that he has for us, and we feel the affection back for him. One of the Christian writers, I don't even remember which one right now, says, God has a picture of you on his refrigerator. Well, that gives us a little bitty sense of the fact that how much he cares about us and how much he truly is interested in us. So God says, you love me, do what I ask you to do. And then the second way that we show our love back to God is the way that we serve him. Sometimes people are frustrated because they'd like to serve God more directly. I want to do something that's for God. And God says, you want to do things for me, then do it for my people. The second part of what Jesus added there. Love your neighbor as yourself. The way you treat other people is a showing of how you feel about me and how you behave toward me. I mentioned before, and I'll probably mention many other times again, Doug Kostowski's right angle of life. You know, one hand to heaven, one hand to God, one hand to fellow man. That really is the place where God put us, and it really is the place that God wants us to be and to serve. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8 and going down through verse 10. For it is by grace you have been saved. We're saved by God's grace, not something that we earned, not something that we deserved, a gift that God has purchased through for us through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So where's this service come in? Verse 10 ties it together beautifully. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has things that he wants done. He's prepared us to do those things. And again, the magic happens when we fulfill our purpose, because we feel good about doing that. We're feeling connected. We're feeling like we're doing the right thing. People search through this life trying to find some purpose. Just give me a purpose. And they seek some purposes sometimes that seem way out of bounds. And yet God comes back to us and says, here's your purpose. Follow your purpose. Do what I'm asking you to do. And you're going to find satisfaction and fulfillment in doing these things that I'm asking you to do. You're going to live victoriously, because you really are meeting your purpose. You'd look over in Luke chapter 10. We won't go there, but you know what occurs there. The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. Jesus again is asked this question about who's the most, what's the most important question? What's the most important commandment? And when he mentions the word neighbor, this guy jumps on it and says, oh, now I've got him. Tell me who my neighbor is. Is this the guy who lived next door to me, or this, that, or whatever? And I just love the way Jesus will just say, well, let me tell you a little story. This guy is beaten up. He's robbed. He's left for dead. A couple of people come by that you think would respond to that, and they don't. And finally, somebody comes along and serves God by having compassion on this wounded man. That guy is a Samaritan. He really has a twist for them at the end. It's amazing to me that that term still works in our world today. You know, you hear on the news, Good Samaritan. Somebody doing something good, or sometimes things that negative that happen that way. The reason that we remember, the reason we think about Good Samaritan, is because when we imitate the Good Samaritan, when we do the things, it's a positive experience. And it makes us feel closer and connected to God. Now, there's one note I'd like to throw in here as well. Sometimes when people think about loving God, and I've had people come to me and say, you know, I don't know how much I love God. I don't know if I love God as much as I love my spouse. I don't know if I love God as much as I love my children. I don't know if I love God as much as I love my brethren. I just don't know. And I'm concerned that I don't love God as much as I love these people. And I've said this before, but I always want to remind us of this. They're all the same. God says, you serve me by serving these people. And you show your love for me by loving them in your actions of love. You can't separate those two. You can't separate your actions and your service toward the people that you love, especially when you're doing it from the motivation of serving God in that process. It's not an important distinction. Now, there are times when those people can come between us and God, and we do have to make critical choices about our relationships and how they're going to impact us. But the idea that how do I get to this place where I love God supremely is wrapped in all of this that we do, all of that we experience. I think if you ask people, you want to live a victorious life, they'd say, yeah, I do. I'd like that. I want to experience that. And it'd be great to say, well, and some people do, is, you know, you start down that road and you follow the path and everything's just going to be wonderful. We know that's not right. We know there's still going to be hardships. There's still going to be losses. There's still going to be trauma. There's still going to be tragedy. There's still going to be difficult days. And even as we live victoriously, we have those things that we experience. The reality of that is the living victoriously gives us the resources to deal with those difficult moments. The foundation, though, has to be there. You can go into any bookstore, you can go on any website, and you're going to find lots and lots of good strategies for happiness. You're going to find lots of good strategies for getting along with other people. You're going to find lots of good strategies for managing your stress or various kinds of things. And sometimes we get so enamored with those that we take the strategies and we say, okay, I'm going to put this strategy at work in my life. And Moses comes back to us and says, wait a minute. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Set this foundation first, and then add those strategies. This is such an important concept that when you look into the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus presents the Sermon on the Mount, three chapters in that book, 5, 6, and 7. And when he ends the Sermon on the Mount, what's his concluding story? Sand and rock. He's going to tell the story of two men. One who builds their life, who doesn't take time to establish a foundation. Sand is easy. And the other one says, no. It's more difficult. It's more time consuming. It's more expensive. It's whatever. But it's worth the trouble to build on the rock. And I think what Jesus is telling them there is, as I've shared all these concepts with you, it's not enough to just say, that's a great concept. That's a great idea. The reality is, do we take it and do we build on the foundation of God? That's the way we achieve a life that's truly victorious. Would you pray with me? Dear God, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for who you are. Father, we are so glad that you want to have a relationship with us, that you invite us into your presence, that you give us information, that you want to have an affectionate relationship between us and you and with the others that we love who love you. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity. We pray that you would help us to not be selfish, to understand the way life works. But we pray that we might constantly be building that foundation and maintaining and keeping that foundation so that we can have the life that we truly want to have. We thank you for your Son and for the great sacrifice he's made for us. And we pray this through him. Amen.